Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
Our vision this year is stronger and stronger, and we're 2 months into this, and so my question to the church today, are you growing stronger? Are you growing stronger? Because the Job 17:9 says, those with clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. And so a way to answer the question, do we have clean hands? Are we living righteously, following the Lord? Are you growing stronger? Or are you just staying the same? See, have you made the decision, I've submitted to the vision of the church this year, and not that it's a, look, you're going stronger or we're kicking you out type thing, but the vision of the church is really the vision that God has for all believers to grow stronger and stronger. And have you submitted? Have you made that decision as an individual, I will grow stronger, and then in because of that, our church will grow stronger? Because here's something that we got to be careful of, is if we're not careful, we'll talk about growing stronger the whole year. The whole year we'll talk about, oh, stronger and stronger. Yeah, here's how we grow stronger. Let's grow stronger. And we'll talk about it, but we'll never actually grow stronger. So we got to be careful of that. See, it's kind of like, obviously, when we say stronger, we're not talking about a physical strength. We're talking about spiritual strength and growing closer to the Father. But it's kind of like the physical strength aspect of it too. We can talk about dieting. We can talk about going to the gym and getting a membership, and here's what I'm going to do. Has anybody ever got a gym membership and like went one time to the gym? Okay. Thank you for being honest, a few of y'all. Last year, I said, Josiah, he works out. I said, I need to start working out with you. I'm going to get a gym membership. Where's your gym membership at? He told me, and I did really good. I had a 6-month plan. And I did really good on month 1 and month 2. And about month 3, all other things came up. Things weren't quite as important. That wasn't quite as important. And I didn't finish my 6-month workout. And obviously in the flesh, God's not holding that against me. Oh, you're going to hell now. But we do that in the spiritual realm too. All right, stronger and stronger is our vision. And then we do really good for the first couple months. And then we very slowly start moving away from that. And so I just want to encourage us as a church, let's grow stronger and stronger and purposefully every day of our lives to pursue God wholeheartedly, pursue Him and become more like Him, and growing stronger and stronger in our faith. Because it's really easy to talk about it. It's a lot harder to start running down the road. It's a lot harder to start lifting the weights. And same thing in the spiritual life. It's really easy to come to church and talk about these things, but throughout the week to actually do what it takes to exercise our spirit man and to grow stronger. And so today, I want to talk about a spiritual exercise that without fail will stretch you. Without fail, grow you stronger and stronger spiritually. Have you ever seen those infomercials? Like those exercise commercials? My favorite one is that little board thing that you stand on and you twist back and forth. And it shows this guy with like ripped abs. And he's sitting there and he's doing this. And I look at that guy and go, he did not look that way by doing that board. There is no way. I could do that 24 hours a day and not look like that guy. But it got this perception of, if you do this, this is what will happen. If you do this, this is what will happen. And a lot of times those infomercials aren't, they're just trying to sell you a product. And I'm not trying to sell you a product. I'm just here to say this spiritual exercise, it will work. It's a spiritual exercise that we even see Jesus himself practice whenever he was on this earth. And if we can do anything to be more and more like Jesus, to grow stronger, then I think we ought to do it. Amen? Amen. And that spiritual exercise this morning I want to talk to you about is fasting. Fasting. The sermon title today is Be Quick to Fast. Be Quick to Fast. See, we are called in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, it says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. It is a call on the Christian's life to move from a glorious state to a more glorious state, to look more and more like Christ in everything we do. And that is what the vision of the church is this year. Growing strong, being transformed from glory to glory style of living. So we're all called to live. Now, the topic of fasting, oh, that's a good picture, isn't it? Miranda did a good job on that. Anyway, the topic of fasting is one that the church has kind of swept under the rug the past several decades. It's something that's not really talked about in the church. And if we would be honest, if we look at the church as a whole in America, we could say the church really doesn't look the way the Bible church is supposed to look like. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we quit talking about fasting and some other things, and then the church starts looking less and less like the biblical church. Fasting is something that the church did in Scripture. For literally thousands of years, God's people have fasted all the way back to King David. And past King David, God's people have fasted all the way to the new early church in the book of Acts. And then us today, we are still called to fast. See, if we want to grow spiritually stronger, we have to practice spiritual exercises. Agreed? Are you with me? I know it's kind of cold this morning, and if we need to open the doors and let that cold air come in and wake us all up, we can. See, we are called to grow spiritually. We've got to exercise spiritually. And fasting is a spiritual exercise, like I said, that will stretch you, and it will grow you in your spirit, man. It's very effective, and we will see results. The goal of my message today, but before, as I'm getting into this, there is threefold. There are three reasons why I want to preach this message, and I believe that the Lord laid it on my heart. Well, obviously, the ultimate goal is so that we as a church can grow stronger and stronger, right? So we can walk in the practices, things that cause us to grow stronger and stronger. But the goal, the three goals of this message, one is for the church to have a better understanding of what fasting is. First, what is fasting? A lot of people don't, the church doesn't teach on fasting, so nobody really knows what fasting is. So we're going to answer that question. What is fasting? Two is to look at what a biblical fast looks like. Now, I get asked this question more than I get asked, what is fasting? Well, how do I fast? And so we're going to talk about what a biblical fast looks like. And number three, we're going to look at the importance of fasting. We're going to look at why we should fast. A lot of people understand what it is. They just think, well, why in the world should I do that? And so we're going to answer that question today. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. I have a joke to tell you while you're turning there. And if you don't think jokes should be told in church, I'm just really sorry. There's a church down the road that I'm sure doesn't tell jokes, but we're going to go ahead and tell one here because I heard it and I want to share it with you. It's really good. This, and all of you fathers will greatly appreciate this joke, so teenagers, listen up. The son turned 16, and he said, "Dad, I want a car. Would you buy me a car?" And the father said, "Son, I'll buy you a car if you come home with straight A's in school, and you start reading your Bible more often, and you get a haircut." The son said, "All right, I can do that." So he worked really hard. He had this certain car he wanted, so he started working really hard for this car. He made straight A's across the board. He started reading his Bible. He literally finished the whole Bible in a half a year time before his birthday. He turned 16. He came up to his dad, said, "I've read the Bible, and I've made all straight A's," but he hadn't cut his hair yet. His dad said, "You're doing good. You made straight A's. You read your Bible, but you still need to get a haircut." He said, "Dad, I've been thinking about that. Now, as I read the Bible, Jesus had long hair. Samson had long hair. In fact, it was bad when he cut his hair. Moses, I'm sure, had long hair." And he starts naming all these people in the Bible who had long hair. His dad said, "That's right. And they walked everywhere they went, too." Get a haircut. That's not a theological standing that we're standing on in this church. I just thought that was a pretty fun joke. Matthew chapter 6. The word here in the scripture, Jesus is teaching at the Sermon on the Mount. This is the most famous sermon we ever hear about. And he's teaching in chapter 6 on three spiritual exercises. One of the spiritual exercises is giving to the needy. Something that he teaches on, this is how you give to the needy. The other thing he teaches on is prayer. This is how you pray. And the third spiritual exercise that he teaches is about fasting. and we look at these three things and look how Jesus views these three things, not the way we look at them, not the way we think it should be handled. Let's not have our own opinions and try to shape the scripture, but let's let the scripture shape what we believe about these three topics. Jesus says here in chapter 6, verse 2, he says, when you give to the needy. When Jesus says, when you give to the needy, he's not saying, if you give to the needy. See, as Christians, we all understand we're supposed to give to the needy. That's what we do as Christians. I'm not saying you have to give every single cent you have away to a homeless person, but as a Christian, we are called to give to the needy. And we've got that one down pretty good. In fact, Christians in America are the number one giver to organizations, to charities, to ministries. Christians have this down. We give to the needy. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, here's how you do it. On prayer, look down a little bit. Verse 5, Jesus says, when you pray. And then in verse 7, he says, when you pray. And then he starts teaching on it. Again, this doesn't say if you pray. Would we all agree today that Christians are all supposed to pray? If you are a Christian and you never talk to God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We're called to pray. And Jesus said, hey, you're called to pray. And so when you pray, here's how you pray. But we understand that as Christians. Everyone in here, I would dare to say, prays. Some may have a stronger prayer life, but that doesn't even matter. We all pray, right? And it says, here, this is how you do it. But this third spiritual exercise, we read, and we don't put them in the same category as giving to the needy or praying. But Jesus, when he teaches on fasting, look what he says in verse 16. He says, and when you fast. He doesn't say, hey, all you Christians, if you fast. He just says, when you fast. So fasting isn't a if, it's a when. And so we need to understand this. Now, this message, hear me today, isn't a condemning message. If you've never fasted, you're not some horrible Christian on your way to hell. This isn't a judgmental, condemning message. It is an encouraging message. It means if you've never fasted, man, when you fast, here's what's going to happen. When you fast, and to encourage you to fast. Jesus says, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, there it is again, when you fast, he says, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So we should all take this scripture and know that it's the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you, right? Speaking to me. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, Adam, when you fast. Ashlyn, when you fast. Caleb, when you fast. Josh, when you fast, here's what you are to do. And he goes and say, you don't fast to be seen by others. You don't to make yourself look holy. And I love the word this morning, I believe prophetic word that Shelby gave of, look, whenever we stand before God, it's not going to be about who we are and our title and, oh, he fasted a lot and, oh, and she worshiped great and whatever it may be, but we're just going to spend time in the presence of God. See, when we fast, we don't have the mindset of, look at me, I'm fasting, I'm holy. But it's to be done in secret and to present yourself clean. You don't look all gloomy like, oh, I'm fasting, everyone. Oh, pity me. I'm just so, you know, looking forward to in the presence of God. Look at me. That's not the way fasting goes. Fasting is to be done between you and God. And so let's look at this. Let's answer the question, what is fasting? What is fasting? The definition of fasting that I would want to give to you today is fasting is refraining from food, a physical need, not just a physical want, because food is a need. Not just to want, but refraining from a physical need for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is refraining from food, a physical need for a spiritual purpose. What we're doing is we're saying no to the flesh and yes to the spirit when we fast. And when we fast, we're saying no flesh, you're not going to get what you want or have a need right now because the spirit has a greater need. The spirit needs to grow and be fed. That is what fasting is. Turn in your Bibles, if you can, to Galatians chapter 5. See, if we can understand what Galatians says here, we better understand what fasting is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Here's what we've got to know, church. We are a triune being. God is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and He created us, body, mind, and spirit. So each and every one of us, we have a spirit and we have a body. And I'm just wanting to teach you this morning, our body and our spirit are at war with one another. They're in conflict with one another. We would all agree that there are times where flesh wants to do something, and you know that the spirit's saying, "Ah, don't do that, don't do that." For me, it's when I'm in line at Walmart. Flesh wants to do something, but my spirit man is saying no. And so right there, every day when you wake up, you're in a battle. You're in a war between the flesh and the spirit. Whenever we go to heaven, our flesh, the Bible says what is perishable can't be in the glory of God, can't go to heaven. It's going to bring them to put off what is perishable and put on what is imperishable. See, this flesh, it's not heaven worthy. Our spirit, when it's born again, is heaven worthy, but our flesh isn't. Our flesh and our spirit are in a battle. And so that's why we fast, because our fasting makes our spirit man stronger than our flesh. One of the fruit of the spirit is self-control. It helps us control, let our body know that I'm in charge. The spirit's in charge, not the body over the spirit. If we would be honest with ourselves, in America, we give our body whatever the body wants. Man, who feels like pizza tonight? I feel like pizza. Let's order a pizza. Let's go down the road and get a pizza. And we have that luxury here in America, and it is a blessing. Can I get an amen? When you want a pizza, go get a pizza. Right? I'm not saying that's sin, but we often give us our bodies what our body wants. Even if it's a good thing, I want to go work out. I'm going to go do it. If I want to walk down the road, I'm going to walk down the road. If I want to watch a movie, I'll put in a movie. We do that here in America, and whatever our body wants, we just kind of give our body whatever it wants. But our spirit man, the Bible says, is longing with all of creation to be revealed the glory of God. Our spirit man constantly wants to be in the presence of God and to glorify Him and to be intimate with Him. And that's all mankind, not just Christians. That's why we have other religions. Mankind wants a relationship with a God. And it's that our spirit man wants that connection. The Bible says in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for flowing streams, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." See, our spirit man, we want God, we long for God. And so what we do when we fast, we say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. We give the spirit what it wants. Fasting, I'm from Oklahoma, and it seems like every year in school, there was some big Indian story that they would come in and try to teach you a lesson. So there's a lot of Native Americans in Oklahoma, and there's a bunch of like Native stories that they would tell. And one of them, though, when I heard it, I went, whoa, that's good. There's a story of an Indian chief who had two dogs. All right, and this is going to help us better understand the reason why we should fast. Had two dogs, and one dog he loved greatly. And he would feed this dog, and he would nurture this dog, and he would take care of this dog and spend time with this dog. And the other dog he didn't like. And so he wouldn't feed this dog, he wouldn't take care of it, and this dog started to grow weak and frail and wasn't very strong. Well, one day, those dogs got in a fight. Who do you think won? The strong dog. See, this dog wasn't fed, wasn't taken care of, so whenever the fight was time, it lost, the one that he had taken care of. And here's what we do in the spirit. In the spirit realm, our flesh, we come up to a spiritual battle that we face, a temptation possibly. I'm tempted to, I want to take that drink. Oh, I want to smoke this. I want to take this pill or that woman, or I just want to turn on the computer. Whatever, it may be a temptation. It may be just a spiritual battle that you're being attacked with. What will happen is whichever dog you feed is going to defeat the other dog. What if you feed your body and give your body everything it desires and your spirit, man, you never take care of it. You never feed the spirit. Then whenever that battle rises up, your spirit man isn't going to overpower the physical man, and you're going to fall into that temptation. And that's what fasting is. Did I paint a good picture for you here? Fasting is feeding that spirit man and saying no to the physical man. Fasting is keeping the spirit stronger and stronger. So, obviously, that's something that I think is very important. Wouldn't you agree? So that's what fasting is. Fasting is feeding spirit, saying no to flesh. Do we got that? Okay, let's look at the biblical fast now. What does the Bible say about fasting? How do I fast? And see, in this topic, and like, how do I fast? Can I fast this way or this or that or fast from this? There's a lot of different viewpoints here. There's a lot of different thoughts on the how-tos, which personally doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because the Bible lays it out pretty clear. So I think we should look at the scripture and see how the scripture says to fast. So a lot of people will say, remember, fasting is going without food for a spiritual purpose. And here's what a lot of people, and if this was my mindset at one time, nothing's wrong. If this is your mindset, I'm not condemning you, but I just want us to understand that, let me say it like this. I had somebody tell me one time that I'm fasting from heat in my hair. A girl saying, I'm not putting heat in my hair. And all y'all women are probably thinking, that is like a sacrifice, not putting not putting heat in your hair to make it look good or whatever. She goes, I'm fasting from heat in my hair. And when I heard that, I just bit my tongue. It's like, bless you. You know, that's good for you. But see, fasting is different from consecration. And so that's what, consecration and fasting are two different things, all right? And so here, let's talk about that real quick. The Daniel fast. Anybody ever heard of the Daniel fast? Okay, I have done the Daniel fast, and it is good. It's something that is very worthy, noteworthy, and God blesses that. But it's not an actual fast, a biblical fast. It is a consecration. Okay, a consecration is a setting apart for a holy purpose. I'm just trying to step out of my comfort zone and just teach real quick because I don't particularly like teaching, but this is what I got to do today. Consecration is setting apart for a holy purpose. And so it is good. It is very good to go on a consecration. The Nazirite vow in the Old Testament, that was a consecration, meaning I'm going to set apart a season of life, set maybe food apart, certain foods, whatever it may be, and to be pleasing to the Lord. Catholics do something that I absolutely love. I think it's awesome. I think we should adopt it. They do a thing called Lent. And there may be certain things about Lent that I don't understand, and maybe you can help me out. But I do know that they say, I will go without chocolate for X amount of time, or I'll sacrifice something, am I right? Those who grew up in Catholic churches, all right, give up something to honor God. That is good, but that's consecration. That's not a fast. Another thing, me personally, I went through seasons of life where I said, I need to get off Facebook. Anybody ever said that? I just need to get off of Facebook for a while. And I did that and said, okay, I'm gonna take a season of life, a season of time out without Facebook. But that wasn't, or without social media, or without TV. I love watching movies. And I said, I got to quit watching movies. I'm going to take a season where I'm not going to watch any movies, but I'm going to read more scripture, things like that. What I did was I said, I'm going to take a consecration. I'm going to consecrate myself from this. Because what happens whenever we call all these other things fast, we neglect what a true biblical fast is. And so we lose the power of a biblical fast because we're over here doing the Daniel fast, which is good, and God will bless. In fact, Daniel, if we read the book of Daniel, he was blessed for doing what he did. Read chapter 10. He said, I'm not going to eat any meats. I'm not going to drink any wine or any delicacies. And he said, I'm going to pray. And so he would still eat, but he wouldn't eat certain things, but he never called it a fast. What he would do is he would just honor God with what the decisions he was making. That's in chapter 10. But in chapter 9, if we go back in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel said, I'm going to fast. And so that was a different season of life where he said, I'm going to fast. And he didn't eat anything. And he just prayed and spent time with the Lord seeking the Lord. And then the next chapter, he consecrated himself, set himself apart. Are you following me? Does that make sense? It's good and God will honor it and he will bless it. But we need to understand what is the biblical fast. Everywhere in Scripture that we read about a fast, it is without food every time when it talks about a fast. And so a biblical fast is going without food for a godly reason, seeking the Lord. It doesn't mean that you can't drink water. Some people in Scripture went without food and water, and it was supernatural and it was awesome. But the fast doesn't mean you can't have water in a fast. Jesus did a 40-day fast, and it never said anything about him not drinking water. He still drank water. It says he was hungry at the end. It didn't say he was hungry and thirsty. It just says he went without food. And so in a fast, you can go without food, but not you can still drink water. Things like that. I would suggest not to drink any like pop, stuff like that, because you will tear yourself up if you do that. Not a good sign. But if you want to go on a fast, that would be the biblical outline of a fast. The consecration period, let's just talk about this for a second. Through Daniel, what he did in seeking the Lord, he had a reason why he was praying. And so he consecrated himself, and the Lord sent an angel. Literally, an angel just stood before Daniel during this consecration and blessed him and said, Daniel, because of what you've done, the Lord has answered you, on and on and on, and he blessed him for doing that. So don't leave today thinking that I think Daniel fasts are stupid or things like that. I'm not saying that. I know the Bible says don't let people know what you're doing when you're doing it, but just for the sake of argument, I'm currently doing the Daniel fast right now, the Daniel consecration, whatever you want to call it. So I think it is good. I think you should do it, and it's pleasing to God. So just please don't go off and get offended today that I said something awful and tell Pastor Ashley on me. So that is a biblical fast. And the reason why we go without food on a biblical fast, the importance of that goes back to the beginning of why do we do a fast? We do a fast to say no to the flesh and grow the spirit man, right? And grow closer to God. In a fast, a biblical fast, you don't just starve yourself, though. Hear me when I say this. If you go without food for 10 days or whatever, you're just going to starve yourself if you don't pursue the Lord during the fast. Not eating isn't enough, okay? That's the easy part, not eating. The hard part is not eating and pursuing God with everything that you have during the fast. Anybody who's done a fast knows how hard it is to pray when your stomach's saying, oh, I just want a pepperoni pizza so bad I can't see straight. That's the hard part, is the pursuing God. So don't go on some fast, I'm not going to eat, but then just starve yourself, because that's the only, all you're going to do is get skinny. If you want to lose weight, just don't eat. You may die eventually, but that's about the only thing you're going to accomplish if you're not pursuing the Lord. And in Christianity, that's not the only religion that practices the fast. In fact, I watched a video of, I think it was a Hindu or something, even Muslims do this, but they will like persecute their body to please God, but they don't ever pursue God, and obviously not the true God. But see, Christianity, the fast in Christianity isn't about just persecuting the body. It's about saying no to the body and just pursuing God with your whole heart. So a biblical fast is pursuing the Lord, spending more time in his word and worshiping him, seeking him, and pursuing him instead of giving the flesh what it desires. You follow? All right, let's go into this third thing. Why do we fast? What's the importance of fasting? Fasting is putting aside food to pursue God, saying no to the flesh, the biblical fast outline. But why? Why do we do that? Well, in Scripture, as we read Scripture, there's many different reasons for a fast, but the ultimate reason is to draw closer to the man Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In this passage, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they were always coming to Jesus trying to like get on to him and try to prove him wrong and try to stump him and things like that. But here, and obviously they were never successful, but here in chapter 5, verse 33, they come to him and they try to reason with him with their minds. And they said to him, verse 33, the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. Look how Jesus replied. Jesus said to them, can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? the day will come, the days will come, when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. So Jesus Christ was with this group of people, with the disciples, and the Pharisees are saying, why aren't they fasting? All these other disciples are fasting. Why don't yours fast? And Jesus says, there's no reason for them to fast. I'm right here, face to face. I'm right here with them. Why should they have to fast? I'm here. So the purpose of fasting would, there's going to be a day where Jesus isn't with us in the flesh anymore. His spirit is, but it's not a God that we can see and that we can have face-to-face communication with. He says, when that day comes, then they will fast. That would be a reason for fasting because I won't be there with them. So the important, again, there are many different reasons to fast, but they're all under the umbrella of we fast to draw closer to the bridegroom. We fast to draw closer to God. In history, throughout this scripture, we see a lot of different reasons for fasting. David, the king, David, he fasted because his son was dying. He had a baby that was dying, and he got down on his face, and he fasted, and he prayed. He didn't eat, and he's saying, somebody asked him, why are you doing this? He said, because my son, God may show mercy and allow the boy to live. But what happened was God had already said this son's going to die because of a great sin that David had committed. But still, the purpose for his fasting was to cry out to God to save the son of his child. Another reason, Esther, Queen Esther, beautiful Esther. We see her not only fasting herself, but she calls a whole nation of Jewish people. Say, you need to be fasting. Fast and pray, and this is why you need to be fasting and praying, because she was going into the throne room to the king, and she needed to receive favor and wisdom from God and from the king because she was about to do something that was unlawful for her to do. But in the eyes of God, she needed to do it in order to save the Jewish people. And so that was a reason to call for a whole nation to pray for her and to fast, to say, we're not worried about food right now, but God, help Esther, give her favor, protect her, and bless her. And so a prayer of intercession over Esther, they did through fasting. John Adams, let's look just not too far away from history. Those are biblical, and there's a lot of other Bible stories of people fasting, but John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, and many other presidents and senators and congressmen, but American leaders have called for the nation of America to fast. If you read through history, American history, there are several fasts. In fact, 15 different recorded times American leaders have called for the nation of America to fast. And the reason why they called them to fast was to seek wisdom from God and to ask for favor and direction where we need to go. And obviously, that kind of makes you proud of America, doesn't it? Whenever there's two nations that I know of that their leaders call them for fasting. That was the Israelites in the Bible and then the Americans. And it makes you kind of proud to be an American. But it called for a national fast so that we can all seek the Lord and ask his favor. And we wonder, well, why is America so blessed? Why has God shown his favor and his countenance upon America? How has he protected us through all the wars? How has he kept us and blessed us and given us prosperity? I believe it's because the founders of this nation fasted and prayed and sought the Lord and biblical wisdom on how to do life together. How is a nation supposed to be formed? And see, a lot of us don't understand what we should be doing. One reason is because we're not fasting and asking God to give us direction in life. Jesus himself fasted. Obviously, he's the ultimate goal, right? Jesus. Whether John Adams did it or not, I don't care. I do care. I think it's awesome. But it doesn't matter if anybody else did it. But Jesus himself did it, and he is who we're supposed to shape our life around and to look like. Amen? And so last scripture I want to read to you. Turn the page over to the left to Luke chapter 4. This right here is the importance of fasting, the ultimate importance of fasting. Jesus paved a way for us, and we are to follow. There's a story that I absolutely love when Jesus got baptized in water. Do y'all remember the story? That's actually in chapter 3. He gets baptized in water, and the Holy Spirit fell on him, right? The Holy Spirit descended on him. And in chapter 4, it starts off, the very first sentence is, and Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. Why was Jesus full of the Holy Spirit? because whenever he was baptized in water, then the Holy Spirit came and descended upon him and filled him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. And then chapter 4, get this, starts off, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Okay, so here's this order of Jesus' life. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he was led by the Holy Spirit. And once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, once we have the Holy Spirit of God on us, he can start speaking to us, and we can start doing what he calls us to do as he leads us. Amen? And so, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit to go out into the wilderness for 40 days to fast, spend time with God, and the devil is coming to tempt him. And we can read this story during the fast. The devil came and tempted him about, you need to eat something. Here, turn this rock into bread. You can do that if you're the Son of God. And for other reasons, he tempted him. That's not the moral of the story. But at the end of this fast, Jesus accomplished something. And here is what we often overlook and what Jesus accomplished. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 14. This is right after the fast. It says, and Jesus returned in the what? Power. In the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. Okay, so get this. He's baptized. The Holy Spirit fell on him, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. Then he was led by the Holy Spirit and was obedient. But it wasn't until after his fast where he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of deep today, but if we want to grow stronger and stronger, let's look at how did Jesus grow stronger in the Spirit? He fasted. And because of him fasting, he was then able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We never read of Jesus doing one miracle until after his fast. We never see Jesus performing signs and wonders until after his fast. He used the fast to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit, but the fast allowed him to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's the importance of fasting? The importance of fasting is so that we, as followers of Jesus, can look like Jesus, walk out a life in which he calls us to live, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. What could be more important than that? Walking in the power, getting saved, yeah, I get it. We're past that. We're moving from the elementary teachings of the church. Yeah, get saved, that's awesome. What's next? We should be fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. Mike Bickle is the leader of IHOP, not International House of Pancakes, but International House of Prayer, a ministry based in Kansas City. And here's what he says. I want to quote him. What he says is just really good. It says, when people pray and fast, there is an increase of the Holy Spirit activity. That is a fact. Mike Bickle, I believe, is speaking 100% truth, and I agree with him. I have never seen a group of people fast and the Holy Spirit activity not increase. Every time anyone ever fasts, I've always seen the Holy Spirit move on them, minister to them, speak to them. Obviously, this is something that we should probably be doing. Again, if you've never done it, it's not a condemning message. It should be an encouraging one. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I just want more Holy Spirit in my life. I want to feel his presence. I want to not be walking as just this zombie spiritually, but I want energy in my spirit. I want to walk intimately with him. I want to encourage you. You can have it. Fast. Fast and pray and seek the Lord. Spend a season where you're saying no to everything else. Another person I heard say, fasting is hungering for God more than food. I mean, I want you, God, so much. I want to hear from you. I want to walk in your wisdom, in your counsel, in your leadership so much. I want your spirit to surround me so much that I will put aside that T-bone steak for a while. That's hard. But I'm going to put this aside because I want Holy Spirit activity. Another guy I want to quote, leader in the church today in America, Jennison Franklin, is a pastor of a spirit-filled church, a leader. He's also on a board of councils to our president, President Trump. And here's what he says about, I love the fact that there are people who are giving our government leaders counsel who are fasting. Here's what he says. He says, the discipline of fasting releases the anointing, favor, and the blessing of God in the life of a Christian. Without fail, that's what happens. Fasting will release the anointing of God, his favor, his blessings on your life. Now, he loves you and he'll bless you no matter what, obviously. I mean, I don't want to say no matter what, but he will bless you if you're his child. But there is something supernatural that cannot be taught that happens when a group of people say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to get my prayer closet and I'm going to hunger and thirst for you, God. The Bible says, I think it's Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes, where Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. If you're not satisfied in life, you're hungering and thirsting for the wrong stuff. Because here, I eat a ribeye is my favorite steak, personally. The big juicy fat on the side. But I'll eat one of those, and then I'll hunger for some more after a while. I've eaten so much where I thought, yeah, I'm not ever going to hunger again. I tried an 80-ounce steak at a restaurant one time, 5-pounder. I couldn't do it. I got about 3 pounds and had to quit. And I thought after that meal, I will never eat another steak. That was borderline gluttony, by the way. Not a good idea. But anyway, I was like, I will never be hungry again. Give me a few days and I was wanting another ribeye. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. There will be a satisfaction on your life as the Holy Spirit empowers you. You say, I just want God. I want God. See, whenever somebody makes that decision, I'm growing stronger. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to diet right. I'm going to live this life. And they're passionate. They're pursuing it. They're going to run after it. They're going to get it. But what we do a lot of times as Christians, we're just like, God, we just want you. We want you. Okay, God, we want you. What do you want to do next? I'm going to go putt-putt golf. We want you, God. We want you. Let's go eat. Man, I want you, God, let's put in a movie. Man, God, I want, but there is a exercising in the spirit realm, in the spiritual life that as Christians we're to live, that cause and effect. Spiritual exercise will bring spiritual blessings. Now, there are other spiritual exercises other than fasting, giving to the needy, praying, obviously many more, but these are things that we can do that will stretch our spirit, man. And here's what I want to encourage you on. Today, church, I'm about to wrap it up. If you've never fasted, here's what I encourage you. Start off, don't go off and do a 40-day fast. If you do, like, I'm going to high-five you and say, way to go. You did it, man. Maybe someday I'll get there. You can take little steps to grow in this. If you've never fasted and you're unsure about how to go about this, start off with a consecration. Start off with a Daniel fast and say, I'm going to only eat this and I'm going to pursue God more. And God will bless you for that. Or maybe say, I've never fasted. I'm just going to go one meal, a meal that I actually eat. I don't eat breakfast. So if I fasted breakfast, it would be pointless for me because I just usually don't do it. But if you eat lunch, I'm going to fast my lunch. I'm not going to eat that lunch. And I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to pray and worship, spend time with him. Maybe you say, I think I can do a day. And you put a whole day aside and say, I'm going to fast this one day. I'm going to pursue God. Those are ways that you can grow and exercise correctly and work your way up to where you need to be. Does that make sense? God has great things in store for this church. I believe that 100% with all of my heart. But if we're going to grow stronger, we must walk out and apply the spiritual exercises to our life. Here's what I believe. I believe that this church is going to be a church of fasting people. And if we do that, we will see the rewards of that. We'll see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We'll see miracles, signs, and wonders. We'll see wisdom in households. We'll see godly fathers doing what godly fathers are supposed to do if we can apply this spiritual exercise to our life. Are you with me?
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.